Church.
Good morning.
Welcome to the church house. You know I have to thank the praise team again. Ooh, that was on fire today. Thank you for keeping a song in our hearts all week long. We bless you from the house of the Lord. This is Psalm 118, verse 26. I'm Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor, O. Running for Christ Ministries is a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We have assembled again to get the answers to an open book test. Let us listen with ears to hear and get a new understanding of this word so we can share it with others. Today, Pastor O will deliver part 18 of a sermon series titled The Book of Romans, part 18, Disputable Matters. The text is coming from Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. So turn or click in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 14, verses 1 through 9, and I'll be reading from the NIV. My title in my Bible says, The Weak and the Strong. And it goes like this. Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Amen. Let's receive Pastor O with open hearts as he delivers part 18 of a sermon series titled, The Book of Romans, Disputable Matters. So, church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Make it plain for us.
Make it plain for us.
Amen. Amen. Make it plain. What's up, homeboy? I'm going to come over your place one day. We're going to chop it up. Amen. Yeah, you got his own place. Now we're going to chop it up. Everybody party at Terrence, huh? Amen. They're going to be like, man, we bringing all these people up in here. No, these are my peoples. Amen. Amen. These is my peoples. Amen. Let's pray. After Dr. Jonathan Tate. Yeah, he's a year older, so he move a little slow. Amen. He's a year older, so he moving a little slow. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. We praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for always being kind and merciful to us, not giving us what we deserve, but blessing us above what we deserve. We thank you, Father, that you always do and can do above what we can even imagine, ask, or think. And we thank you for that, Father, that you are our God. In this world today, Father, everything is all stirred up. But that's the world. That is not the body of Christ, the church. So what's going on in the world just gives us a greater opportunity to reach out to those who are afraid and befuddled and, and just confused about all that's going on. But you have made us aware. You told us, Jesus, in Matthew 24 and 14, that the end will not come until all these things have happened, and we are seeing all those things today. So we do like Luke told us. We rejoice because we see that our redemption, the church raptured out of the world, is near. Help us, Lord, to get this word so the devil don't twist us up. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So that I hear your word today. And Lord, bless my heart to receive your word today, because I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed by your word. Change the way I think so I can always know what your good, pleasing, and perfect will is for my life. Amen. Amen. I love saying that, Jeff, that God got a perfect, pleasing, and good will for my life. He got it. I don't have it, Cat. He got it. That means I'm going to get it. That means I already got it. Good, pleasing, perfect will for my life. Amen. I've had some wheels, Aaron, for my life. They wasn't pleasing, good, or perfect. They didn't turn out right at all. But we thank God for his good, pleasing, and for him being willing to expose it to us. He didn't just tell us. You know how people love to rejoice when they hear 2 Corinthians 2:9? What no eye have seen, what no ear have heard, what not have entered into the heart of any man. Amen. About the things God have in store for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And we say, amen. But we don't hear the part about we didn't see, we didn't hear, we can't think. Amen. I like verse 10. Verse 10 say, but he has revealed it unto us. How? By the Spirit he planted in us. I think Sunday school, I heard so many people talking about it. I think Sunday school had to do with God giving us the Holy Spirit. Giving us power so that we can work in the devil's world to be a witness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Today I want to talk to you for just a little bit from this subject. Disputable matters. Disputable matters. Amen. Paul is concerned. Paul is concerned, amen, that the church is going to be divided. He had the same concern for the Corinthian church. He wrote to them in chapter 8. Amen. He wrote to them about how to walk in this new freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. And you know the devil, he is the one who heard the Lord say, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so his job is to come into the church, this new church, that has been formed in Rome and all these other churches that Paul planted and sow discord. That's why the Bible says that the Lord hates those who sow what? Discord among the brethren. They're seeking to tear apart what God has made what? One. If the church is the bride of Christ, then it is, then we are what? Married to him. And what God has brought together, let not what? Man put asunder or divide. Amen. And so the devil seeks to weaken the church by dividing the church, taking some of them off the battlefield, but they're still in the world. For instance, when King Balak, you'll find this story in the book of Numbers starting around chapter 22, there was a king, his name was Balak. And he had heard about what God did to Sihon and Og, tore him up. Israel didn't even know how to fight. Seal tore him up. How God sustained his people for 40 years in the wilderness. How God brought them across the Red Sea. How God tore Pharaoh's head up 10 times till he finally let them go. They've all heard about this. And so they're not really afraid of Israel per se, but they are afraid, amen, of their God and what he can do through his people if he wants to. God can take anybody and do whatever he wants to through them.
Amen.
took Elijah at one time and told him to pull your cloak up, tie it up like pants around your ankle so you don't trip when you start running because you're finna run. Guess how fast he ran? Fast enough to outrun a horse. Amen. God can enable his people to do anything if they just listen to him and do what he says. So the devil is afraid of us. We're in his world. He's the prince, the power of the air. He's the spiritual wickedness in high places. He is the one that we wrestle against. Listen to me, not flesh and blood. But sometimes the devil twists us up. And we start fighting flesh and blood, not any flesh and blood, but church folk fighting one another. Church folk all divided. The world look at us and they say, I want to go to church, but which one is the right one? The devil did that. I remember studying Christian history and when denominations, so it was only one denomination from AD 325 forward up to around 1517 when the Reformation movement fully came forward and broke out. Catholicism. That was it. There was only Catholicism, the Catholic Church. That was the only denomination on earth. The devil went into the Catholic Church and twisted it up. And some folks saw it as a way to profit, and so they took God's word and added stuff to it. Excommunication.
Right.
We can kick you out the body of Christ, not just out the local organized congregation of baptized believers, but we can kick you out the body. We can take your salvation. They even had a thing called an interdict. For instance, if the mayor didn't go along with the Pope would excommunicate the whole city. What do you think them people gonna do when they find out that the mayor got their salvation taken away? They're going after the mayor. We can live without you, but we can't live without our salvation. That's how twisted up they had the Bible. Amen. And so the devil knew if he twisted up. A lot of scholars to this day believe that folks from 325 all the way up to 1250 or 1517, did they really just believe in Jesus alone for salvation? Or did they believe what they had been told? You got to pay indulgences. I know you can't do penance because you got a farm and you can't walk to San Francisco and back and show God how sorry you are for your sins. So we worked that out for you, Darius. Here's what we're going to do for you, bruh. All you got to do, kick out a few of them dollars. In my book, The Church That Jesus Built, they had a whole list of indulgences you could pay. You could rape a woman, get caught, $2, you out of it. Amen. You could slap a priest, $2.50, you out of it. You can commit all these crimes that they outline, and guess what? A flat fee of $12, you out of it. They did that to raise money for the church. Forget tithes and offerings. We need extra money. So you got to give, pay, and indulgence. So the devil, he seeks to divide the church. And what Paul is talking about in the book of Romans is he's warning them in chapter 14 about what we call disputable matters. A disputable matter in the Bible is something that God has not expressly said, thou shalt not. Amen. Amen. What he outlined was, there was folks, now you have to understand, all these people are new to the faith. They don't have Bibles like we have. They don't have, their church was very different from ours. We got an Old and New Testament. We got schools and churches everywhere doing everything. They didn't have all of that. And everyone of Jews and Gentiles alike, we're hearing some very new things. A whole new way of living. And so some of the Jews who were still hooked on the dietary laws that Moses gave found it a struggle to let that go and just trust God. When Jesus told Peter what God has blessed, don't call that common or unclean. You'll also see at that time Jesus was saying you can eat anything you want. He was already throwing out the dietary laws. The big argument in Acts chapter 15 when they held the first apostolic council, was not about is Jesus the Christ or not. What the argument was really about is, can we now say that there are parts of God's law that can be left aside? Any law that had to do with making an atonement, guilt tripping, amen, or whatever offering God gave them to make themselves right with him, if they fell off, Jesus became that. He is the end of the law for all of us who are saved. We are no longer under the law. That's not to say that the law is not good. The law is good. There's nothing wrong with God's law. There was something wrong with the people who wouldn't keep it. And God didn't give us law to save us, amen, but to show us we need a Savior. Amen. But there were some folks coming into the church and saying, look, you need to still continue to observe the dietary laws. I got a chance to talk about that in Acts and in Galatians chapter 2, the series I'm doing on YouTube. Peter had come to visit some of the churches Paul planted. And while they were there, Peter enjoyed Gentile fare. Amen. He ate their food, drank whatever they had to drink. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says whatever they said before, you don't even ask no questions about it. Just go ahead and enjoy. I think that's 1 Corinthians 8, right? But then Peter saw Evetrius, some of the folks from James' church in Jerusalem. You know James the Just, right?
Yep.
Called that, about why? Because of his ultra conservative approach to Christianity. Amen. And so they called him James the Just. That's a good, that's not a slam. That's just recognizing he stick with the word of God. And so it wasn't a bad name. But when some of the folks from James' church, who had been Pharisees, who had said they became Christians, started telling the Galatians, oh no, you can't just believe in Jesus alone. Notice what the devil is doing? Division. If he can get these people thinking that they've lied to you, you need more. How many times have you heard you need to give evidence of speaking in tongues to prove you're saved? Amen? Then why did Paul write, do all speak with tongues? And if the answer if to the rhetorical question is, right, no, then guess what? That's not a sign. I don't know how you could even think that after you've read 1 Corinthians 14. Tongues then are not a sign for who? Believers, but a sign for who? Unbelievers. When Peter spoke in those known tongues, what happened? People said, how are we hearing the wonderful word of God in our own language? That means he didn't need an interpreter because he was speaking in a known tongue. That is what got the people's attention, right? That's what made them want an explanation. And then Peter explained it to them. Amen? So what the devil wants to do is to divide the church any way he can. And he has to use church people to do it. Because see, if some unsaved folks came in here trying to tell us what to do, we ain't listening to them. But what if somebody who we believe is a good Christian, steeped in the word of God, come up to us and tell us something? Amen. So, and all these people coming into this new church, Gentiles from all different kinds of backgrounds, having had former beliefs. When you look at Acts chapter 17 and Paul is speaking to these Athenians, they had a God to everything they thought was God, and they set up a statue. And somebody, Rebecca, Deaconess Rebecca, said, well, what if there's a God we don't know? And then somebody said, you know what they said, Deacon Oliver Welch, you know what they said?
What did he say?
They said, well, let's make a statue to the unknown God. That way we got them all covered. Amen. But Paul went in there and had to bring all them different minds and all those different ways of thinking about God and worshiping God to one page. And that's what he sought to do in that sermon. The Lord spoke a powerful word in the 6th chapter of Genesis. The Lord said, The people have become like us. And now, nothing that they even imagined to do. Thank you, Crystal, for sipping on that. Jesus said, will you take a drink before you start coughing? Amen. I can feel Mojave Desert in my throat. And still talking. Amen. Now, what was I saying?
Genesis 6.
Huh? Genesis chapter 6. What did God say that man, talking about human beings, have become like us?
Yeah.
I say, Lord, what do you mean when you say they become like you? They become God? He said, no, they're one. Like God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yeah. One God, three separate and distinct personalities, only different in function. Toward us, that's theology, right? But they've become like us. So I said, Lord, if a church becomes one and all of them are thinking the way you want us to think, all our thoughts are your thoughts. You know what Jesus said, the works I do, not mine. Amen. Wherever the Father is, there is the Son also. The words I speak, not mine. I always do those things that please my Father. What happens when a church becomes one? Well, guess what? Nothing that that church, that local organized congregation of baptized believers, nothing that they imagine to do, amen, will be impossible to them.
Amen.
The Lord put that out there for the whole body of Christ to know. I know it was in the Old Testament, but God is very forward-looking.
Yep.
Amen. And so what has he done? He's coming to the Roman church, and he's telling this Gentile, you know, you're a Christian now. You got to observe the dietary laws of the Jews. And he's telling these Jews, you know, you're a Christian now. You don't have to observe the dietary law. And so now he's got two groups fighting with each other. The vegetarians is telling the, amen, the carnivores, amen, you ain't right. Over there with that big old steak, you know you going to hell. And like, wait a minute, I just had steak the other day. I ain't got going to hell. And then the other group is like, man, you weak. Over there eating all them old fruits and vegetables and things. I ain't no animal. I ain't no bird. I ain't, man. And it's literally become a problem in the church. This person saying, you do that, you're not saved. Now, we want to understand that a disputable matter is something that God has not expressly said is wrong. The whole church tore up today. Pastors are going crazy. They don't know what to do. They legalize weed. And now they're all over YouTube, pastors. This pastor say, you can't smoke weed. And here's the scriptures that say it, in which he just told totally out of context. Then John MacArthur, he came with the word pharmakia. Y'all know what that means, pharmacy?
Yeah.
Drugs.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, back in the day, somebody asked me, Reverend Oberon, what about drugs and alcohol? And so I couldn't answer the question. And so the Lord sent me on a search. He said, I want you to study the history of drugs in the world. He included alcohol with drugs. I want you to include the history of drugs in the world. And I finished it. And then he said, now I want you to go back. And I want you to study the history of drug laws in America. And so I had to go and study drug law. Do you know the whole world had no law against what a person chose to ingest into their own body? America had no laws. Well, they had a funny law. It was called, that's where we get the phrase Catch 22. It was a Tax Stamp Act. And the Tax Stamp Act said, in order to legally possess and sell these, most of it was morphine and cocaine at that time. Okay, weed was over here on the side.
Right.
The Mexicans, they got, anyway, that's a whole other story. Amen. So they said in order to get the tax stamp, you had to possess whatever it is you wanted to sell, right? Because you remember watching those cowboy pictures? Remember the man, the snake oil salesman with his magic elixir? Mostly it was just anything liquid with cocaine in it. Amen. Coca-Cola, when it first came out, you know I got that name? It literally had coke in it. They had coke in everything. Whatever ails you. I got it. What you need, Mary? What you need? I got it. You sick? Don't feel well? Need an upper, downer? I got it. There was no laws nowhere. Then in America, after the tax stamp failed because it was unconstitutional, how you gonna tell me if I have it, I gotta have it to get the tax stamp. But I have it without the tax stamp, so now I'm in possession of this without the tax stamp, I get arrested. So it was in what? Catch 22. So it didn't work. So they came with prohibition. Two Christian groups, men and women, Christian leagues, they lobbied Congress to make people stop drinking. All they ended up with doing is like yesterday, Crystal was cool. We talking, she drinking her little wine. Okay, I'm over here got my beer. Okay, then the next day when prohibition hit, she a criminal, I'm a criminal too. But we used to be cool. Now the Christian leagues, men and women, they had a good idea because men were laying in the gutters drunk and they could not take care of their families. And so when they saw all of that and these women being left to raise these children while Homeo is drunk, literally outside the bar, laying by the sewer in the gutter. Literally. So they prohibited alcohol. How did that work out? Maya Lansky, Bugsy Siegel, Al Capone, Frank Nitti. Oh, they said they won't sell it to you? We will. Yeah. Amen. So they tried to stamp it out. So in 1937, they suddenly discovered we have no real laws on the books. Onto the scene comes a man named Henry Anslinger. It was his job to change the way America thought about drugs and alcohol. At least they had a better plan than prohibition, but when it didn't work, that's the way it went anyway. So what he did, how many of y'all remember, if you're old enough, Reefer Madness? This is when the boy smoked a joint, went and got that big black frying pan, killed his mama. You don't want to smoke weed. Amen. And then the other man got drunk, not drunk, but half weed, jumped out the window. You don't want to smoke weed. So they started doing commercials like that. They ran a campaign of prohibition without prohibiting you. And guess what? A bunch of Americans got scared. And the thoughts that we, how many of you have ever asked God about it? Or did you learn what you learned about drugs from man? Did you learn what you learned about God's prohibition of these things from man? Or did God ever in the Bible prohibit these things? Amen. And it's tearing the church up today. Yeah. I went to a church to preach. I got through. I asked the pastor, do y'all have a weed store in the basement? Uh-oh. It was just so it seemed like everybody who came up to me to shake my hand, I was like, you know, all of a sudden I had called Sheila. I'm like, I'm hungry. Have something to eat when I get home. Plus I'm sleepy. Hey, it was deep, you know, but look, all that you'll ever find in the Bible about these things is God saying, look at Noah. That's what happened when you drank too much. Amen. You make really silly, dumb decisions. You become a you that you probably didn't even know. You ever see somebody get drunk and then say, did I do that? Did I say that? Yeah. I was drunk. I'm sorry. So what the Lord does is warn us about these things. But in the Roman church, it's becoming a big problem. In the church today, it's a big problem. Amen? You have a Christian who say, you smoke weed, you drink alcohol, you ain't saved. And then you say, show me a scripture that says that. And then they tell you what their pastor told them, or their Bible teacher told them. But they can't show you because it's not in the Word of God. But what's strong in the Word of God is what it will do to you. How many people you know said, you know, this is my first drink, but when I get through, I'm going to be a raging alcoholic. Oh, yeah, this is my first little smoke, but I'm going to smoke so much I can't even get a job because I can't quit for 2 weeks. Who started out saying that? So what the Lord says is he gives warnings about that. For instance, in this church, the people who don't eat meat, don't bother the people who eat meat. The people who eat meat, don't bother the people who just eat vegetables. The people who say, listen, the Bible said because you are not their Lord. Sometimes we get up here and Jesus is like, what you doing up here? We get up here and we become people's Lord. And we start, be careful when you tell somebody they're not saved. Amen. Because Ananias was scared of Paul and Jesus talking about go down there and talk to Saul. He's like, who? Amen. Don't let nobody see. Jesus had to convince him that, look, he on team. Now, it's the same way I was talking with Roland Smith when I had to go to First Baptist and preach. And I brought it out in the sermon. That when Roland walked into the pastor's office and saw me, he said, what is he doing here? Amen? He was going by what he knew. He wasn't making up nothing because he used to have to cross my corner where I had my little pharmacy set up. He had to come across my corner, and back in the days, I played multiple dozens, amen? And there would be, people would literally go on the other side of the street. Back in the day, they called it capping on people, right? Today, capping is lying, but back then, it was talking about people and their mamas and daddies, and people would go across the street, amen, rather than come by me. But what the Lord is concerned about is how we allow these things to divide us, to separate us. And all the devil knows whatever we do, Jesus forgives us. Amen. Now, like my pastor taught me, don't forget, Jesus forgive you anything, but consequences come with everything. Yeah. Now, it's up to Jesus how them consequences gonna work on you. But get this, all things, he causes what? All things to work together for our good. So notice, if Jesus is on you, he's on you for good. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
So Paul says, look, Jesus is their Lord. They will rise or fall. You can't make somebody live right. You can tell them how to live right.
Right.
But ultimately, that choice is going to have to be theirs.
Yeah. Come on, Pastor.
You can't make nobody live right. You might want them to live right. You might want them to do this. But all you can do is, like Galatians says, if you see a brother or sister toe up from the flow up, think restoration. Think restoring them gently.
Yeah.
That's your best hope. Yeah. Other than like Dr. Tony Evans say, pray for them. If that's all you're left with, pray for them. Tell God. But don't damage somebody in the body of Christ because they don't go to church on a certain day. The Seventh-day Adventists, I had to go over there and preach, and this preacher got up right behind me saying the things I said weren't true. I said, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to heaven.
Yeah.
And we had a home going. He gets up and says, well, the Bible don't say that. Really? Really? And then he started talking about people who go to church on Sunday are sinning against Jesus and on their way to hell. Really? Have you ever studied what they believe about God? That is the most, I couldn't be Seventh-day Adventist. I just couldn't. See, I need hope, Jeff. I need to know I'm going to heaven. Amen. Preacher, I need to know I'm going to heaven when it's over. I can't be hoping I get to heaven. I hope I did enough. Jesus let me in. I hope I went to church on Sunday. I probably ain't going to get in.
Right.
And then the world look at us and say, well, wait a minute. They told me over there.
Yeah.
And then they come over here and they told me over here. See, church, that's why we got to read the Word of God.
Yeah.
Then Jesus told you.
Right.
You know, I hear people saying stuff all the time, and I don't always respond like Joyce Meyer taught me. If it ain't your business, it ain't going to affect you. You ain't got nothing to say. You don't need to have an opinion. And so I've learned how to not have an opinion. I can tell when it's the right time to talk to somebody. If they brickheaded, it ain't the right time to talk to them. If they spouting all that demonic crap, that ain't the right time. Amen. So Paul said one person worships on this day, okay, one day a week, they're worshiping God. These people worship 7 days a week, they're worshiping God. These people don't eat meat, they give thanks and glorify God. These people do eat meat, they give thanks and glorify God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. They're not glorifying us.
Yeah.
They're glorifying God. They don't eat meat to please us. They don't give thanks to us when they eat that meat. They don't give thanks to us when they eat them vegetables. They don't give thanks to us on whatever day they choose to worship God. Pastor Ken Jones, they worship on Thursday.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I say, Jesus, why didn't I set Thursday as the day of worship? Because they don't race on Thursday. Amen. I could have been at the track on Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But no, I chose Sunday to have church. I should have chose Thursday. Then I could go drag racing on Sunday and wouldn't even be sinning. Amen. Amen. So Paul is saying, look, whether they rise or fall, worship or not, eat or don't eat, they're doing all that to the glory of God, not you. Look, the Bible says in that passage, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen? Jesus is Lord. And so in Christ, no matter what we are, no matter what we believe, all of us come together. Now look, I ain't talking about believing things Jesus said was wrong. Okay, we're talking about things that he have not expressly said this right or wrong. Disputable matters. Amen? So he wants the church to come together. Don't lose a brother or a sister because they smoke cigarettes. If he was a Christian, you wouldn't smoke. Aaron, you know how scared I used to get when I heard a person say that and I smoked? They just didn't know it. And every time somebody caught me smoking, they would say, Reverend, no wrong, you smoke. Jesus said, you in trouble. You in trouble. Hey, man, I told y'all about the time I was at the drag strip, right? And somebody said, Reverend, overall, is that you? I'm like, even out here?
Yeah.
Amen. Now, get this. You can be at the drag strip, but I can't.
Right, right.
We both Christians, but you're a preacher. So I can't. Oh, Lord, have mercy. See how we get divided? And what happens when you divide people up? They become weaker. That's why Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel. He said, I know you can't wipe them out because God ain't going to let that happen. But what I need you to do is just kill a few of them so I don't have so many of them. What made Pharaoh become afraid of Israel? The people have become too many. And now they might get the idea to link up with our enemies and come against us. So he pressed them. He pressed them so they wouldn't be thinking about lining up with somebody. They'd be thinking about making bricks. And when it got real bad, they had to make bricks without straw. Amen? So God wants us to be like him, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit on one page. Amen? I know we would love for certain things to be a sin so we could tell people to stop it. But if God have not said it was a sin, what you want to do, if that thing ever get to destroying them, then that's when you want to pop in.
Yeah.
And help.
Yeah.
You don't want to pop in and be like Job's friends.
Oh, boy.
Amen. How would you like to have Job's friends? These are people you go to church with, Jeff, every Sunday. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. We sing his praises. And then you get sick. And they come to the hospital and visit you, Jeff. And they say, I know what you did. Okay, I don't know what you did, but I know you did something. God wouldn't treat you like this if he wasn't in here. You need to go and confess your sin. See, that's what the devil wants. He knows if we get to attacking each other like that, then what God said way back in Genesis, amen, the man has become what? Like us. And now nothing that they imagine to do will be. Can you imagine if the church was one in witnessing for Jesus? Amen. What if the church was one in seeing to it that everybody who comes a Christian gets taught the word of God? We too busy trying to excite people. We too busy trying to make people believe that some earthly thing is getting ready to come to them. When Jesus said what? Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, then what? But I got to give it's digging us a red well to $1,000 to get my blessing rolling. I gotta sow a seed with her. I will sow a seed in any ground that's fertile and gonna grow up something good. Amen. But I'm not throwing my money on the ground or throw it down here and expect something to grow. It ain't even in the ground. That's what happens when you give your money to these ganky janky people talking about once. I heard a, whoa, Jesus, I'm going to have you read something after this. Amen, then we're going to close. I heard a janky ganky preacher, Mike Murdoch, Murphy Murdoch, or whatever his name is. Oh, God Almighty. Right, he looked just like Dracula. He looked evil. This man said he was Mary. He was hooking up the Jabez prayer. I'm like, okay, Jabez prayer. I know that Jabez increased my territory, right? But the first thing you want to know is what? That was Jabez prayer. Do you have Jabez situation? What made Jabez speak those words? Are you in that situation? So anyway, he said, this is how the Jabez prayer worked. You send me $1,000. I don't know why Jesus tell every one of them $1,000. You send me $1,000. Amen. You send me $1,000. And here's how the Jabez prayer worked, Alicia. This is how it worked. If God give me a Rolex, he giving you one. If God give me a Mercedes, he giving you one. If he give me a Rolls Royce, he giving you one. Now sow your seed. And guess what? I heard Oral Roberts say out of, I don't say things I didn't hear people say out their own mouth. I heard Oral Roberts say back in the day, and y'all know I'm a mechanic, right? He said that God, he sowed a seed. And God told his car was broke. God told him to go out and anoint it with oil, and it started. And then he figured if people believe that nonsense, he came back with another one. He said, look, the Lord talked to me the other day, told me he gonna kill me if I don't raise $2.5 million. Yeah, I don't say things I ain't hear people say out their mouth. You don't never know what you're hearing, how many miles had been through before you heard somebody else say what somebody said. Yeah. If God don't, guess what though? He raised the money. Christians sent him, to save his life, Christians sent him $2.5 million. See, you don't even need to be saved to know that's stupid. You don't even need the Holy Spirit to know that's dumb as a brick. Amen? Amen. Come on, Rebecca going to read, and then we're going to close. She's going to read verse 13 to the end. I want y'all to hear 13 to the end because it's the conclusion of the whole matter.
Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister.
Amen.
I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So, whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin.
Amen. In other words, if you're doing things that you only doing it because I'm doing it, and I'm doing it, and I shouldn't be doing it in front of you because you just joined the church yesterday. You don't even know what's right or wrong. I'm a bit more mature in the faith, and I know what's right and wrong. But if I start eating pork chops in front of a person who's a Muslim and just become a Christian, and we've gone out to dinner, I am not ordering the chops. I'm going to let them order first and see what they're comfortable with. And then I'll try to eat that. Amen. Amen. Then I'll get home and say, "See, break them chops out." Amen. In other words, one of the things that Sarah used when we had the prayer things is that verse, let everything that we do, let our every endeavor be to mutual edification. That's all Paul is saying, is let us all be mutually edified. Amen. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Thank you, Father. You said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices or his schemes to divide us. And we're not ignorant of it because you told us that is what he will do. You also told us that when we're one, we cannot be defeated. We see when the children of Israel followed you and were one in the book of Judges, they could not be stopped. But the moment they became divided and cease to follow you, but follow whatever it is they were following, then they couldn't win. They were stopped easily. And so, Father, thank you for revealing to us, the church, how the devil seeks to weaken us by making us hate on each other about things that you have not said this or that about, but have left it to us as something to decide to or not. So help us, Father, to not hate on folks who do things that our consciences are not quite settled with. And help us, Father, to not be the one hating on somebody else whose conscience or spiritual maturity allows them to do this. But as you said in your own word, let everything that we do, and let us be conscious of what we're doing and make sure that it leads to mutual edification. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Yes. Your boy Dracula. What's up, preacher man? Dracula. I told Dracula.